Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another blessed day in Christ Jesus. On this blessed Sunday, this is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. I want to welcome you all who's listening from all parts of the world to this broadcast. Welcome unto you, Canada. Welcome unto you, India. Welcome to you, United Kingdom, to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. Email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So for those of you who normally listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. We always open up with prayer before we go into any preaching or teaching. And those of you who are first-time listeners, that's what we do. Amen. So wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me? Let us pray unto the Lord and petition the Lord that his spirit will be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, once again, we're grateful for this opportunity to petition you. We're grateful for this opportunity we have been given to assemble together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that we need you, and therefore we acknowledge that and we seek your face. We seek the presence of your spirit to be with us right now. So, Father, we ask that through your spirit you release the light, the knowledge and understanding that we stand in need of. So, Father, we want to thank you for the presence of your spirit. And I pray a special prayer for those who are listening, seeking for truth. I pray that, Lord God, that those who will hear this message will be touched by your spirit. Show your hand, God. Show your divine power. Show once again who you are. You are the true and living God. Glory to your name. Lord, that you may be exalted this day forevermore. Glory to the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. I am grateful once again to come on the broadcast, to come before you at this time. Glory to God. Tonight, I'm on a subject that I think I did something on it probably a year or two ago, and I'm coming back with it again. Because it is very important. The title of this subject is Adultery is Serious. Adultery is Serious. And I want to say that this is probably going to be a part of a mini-series. Because for those of you who have listened to us on Blog Talk Radio, and especially the days that, you know, I'm doing or leading off, you know that, you know, when I do a teaching, many times it's in a series. And it's not because I'm trying to drag something out or make it long, but I believe personally, from what the Lord had dealt with me in my spirit, that when you're dealing with a series of teaching or giving the information, that it's not something that you need to rush through. Amen. So, you know, it is something that, you know, you need to go at a gradual pace. So I'm going to start off with this series tonight. Dealing with adultery is serious. And I want to let the Lord have his way and lead by his spirit. Amen. So, tonight's topic is dealing with adultery. And I want to say, as I start off in these opening comments here, that adultery is something that's very serious. Many people, and I have been around people like on my jobs and people out in the public, and some who have been associates and some I've grown up with, There have been some who laugh it off as a joke. There are some who, quote, have taken pleasure in committing it, okay? Amen. And I have seen with others who have looked at it with a greater seriousness. I've seen those who the very act have been committed against, looking at how it has affected them. And then we must understand that in dealing with adultery, there's also a spiritual side. So tonight we're going to start off this series on this thing here. Amen. Praise be to God. And I want to start off tonight defining adultery. I want to give the definition of adultery. Amen. And I want you to also understand that adultery is also a form of fornication. Even though the Bible lists them like two separate things, which there's a difference between adultery and fornication, but overall, adultery is a form of fornication. Amen. Now, let's define adultery. Okay. Let's give the definition of the word adultery. And when I went to Mr. Webster, and I asked Mr. Webster, what is adultery? Can you define it for me? And this is the definition of the word adultery. Voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone else other than her husband. Okay? Hallelujah. In fact, to take it a little deeper, adultery can involve those of the same sex. So if a man is married to a woman, but he's having homosexual relationship or sex with another man, that's still in adultery. It's unlawful sexual act, okay? Just like with a woman, same thing with a woman, okay? You know, she's married to a man, but she's having sexual acts with another woman, okay? So, hallelujah. Also, I want to define to you adultery. When the Bible, the Hebrew word in the Bible, with this na'af, and na'af means to, now this word na'af is translated over to our English language as adultery, okay? So whenever in the Old Testament, rather, whenever you see adultery, that is there to place the Hebrew word na'af. That adultery means to apostatize. That's what it means, to apostatize. Apostatize means to commit apostasy, okay? So to go a little bit deeper, you know, once again, the Hebrew word na'af, which is translated adultery in our language, the Hebrew na'af means to apostatize, and apostatize means to commit apostasy. So the next question would be is, what does it mean to commit apostasy? Okay. Now, I once again went to Webster to get a definition of apostasy, to understand what does it mean to commit apostasy, which is translated in our language as adultery. The word apostasy, number one, means renunciation of a religious faith, and number two, it also means abandonment of a previous loyalty. In other words, a defection. Now, I want to put my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, my brother. Shalom.
Praise be to God. Thank God for you joining us today. I am starting a new, perhaps, mini-series on adultery. And I would just define into them what adultery is. And adultery one sense, is dealing with voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone else other than her husband, which also can involve having sexual relations with the same sex. Okay, so we and you're married. So that's we're defining adultery, but we went a little bit more deeper because there is a spiritual side or a figurative side to adultery also. And the Hebrew word na'af, which is translated adultery in our language, means to apostatize. And apostatize means to commit apostasy. So the last thing that I was bringing up to the listeners was, what does it mean to commit apostasy? And the word apostasy, as I went to Mr. Webster to ask what does the word apostasy mean, in order for us to understand what does it mean to commit apostasy, and I have gotten two definitions. Number one, apostasy means the renunciation of a religious faith. In other words, renouncing faith, okay? And the second definition of an apostasy means abandonment of a previous loyalty. In other words, a defection, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking to people about adultery today because it is serious. And too many people, brother, have taken it for granted. They have made jokes about it, and some of them have taken, quote, a pleasure in committing it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And missing out on the repercussions from it, the thing that you're, the damaging that you're really doing, and all of that. And I'm seeing this case being more and more committed. More and more people, sad to say, brother, and some who are professing to be in the body of Christ have taken it lightly. You know, for them, it's nothing to it. Now, brother, I know that you've been in the ministry for many years, and you have counseled people who have had that act committed against them. And you as well know the deep wounds that it has put in people, you know, when a spouse has went ahead and, quote, unlawfully joined his or herself to someone other than their spouse. And you come to understand the deep wound. Because this is not nothing of an average, and this is what I want people to understand, that it's not something that's average. It's not something that you just kick out the way, oh, yeah, I did it, blah, blah, blah. But it is a very serious matter, very serious.
Right.
Hallelujah. And just like it is very serious with God, because the figurative or the spiritual side of it is the same thing. Whenever we go and join ourselves to especially organizations that are not of God and ungodly, and we abandon the loyalty to God, we are committing spiritual adultery. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're committing it in the sight of God. That's another thing, brother, that many Christians missed out, and they go and join themselves to all these other organizations, and they become more dedicated to that organization, and they abandon their loyalty to God. They're just like joining a fraternity or a sorority or joining the Masonic organization or the Illuminati, you know, and they think it's nothing to it. But whenever you abandon your loyalty to God, whether it's to an organization or whether it is even to your vehicle or even to other people, you are committing spiritual adultery against God. Hallelujah, brother. I see the Holy Ghost on this. And hallelujah. Glory to the Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brother, it had just come to me to begin a mini series on this because, brother, this thing is so serious. And so many people, and like I say, including those who are professing to be believers in the body of Christ, have taken this thing lightly. Okay? And I'm prayer to them tonight that they will see the seriousness of committing such a thing, that it will keep glory, that it will cause such a repentance to come, okay? Because somebody that's listening, hallelujah, is one among those who have taken it lightly. Yes, God is a forgiving God, And yes, I commend people or marriages where that had happened and they say, hey, we just going to, you know, go in and work it out. I commend them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that
yeah.
is something serious and very deep. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It causes you to go away from God. And once again,
yeah.
it causes you to even go away from your spouse. Hallelujah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
right.
Jesus. So,
right.
I want to start off tonight, as after defining that, I want to give a little information, brother, about, you know, concerning the adultery. I want to give some figures, but before I give the figures, I want to first go into the Word of God in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Yes, for those of you who holler that, hey, we are a New Testament church and we ain't got no business going in the Old Testament, well, guess what? We're going in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We're going in the Old Testament. So hold your rocks.
Yeah.
And I got my brother on here with me, so I'm going to hide behind him when you throw it. But anyhow, we're
yeah.
going to go into the book of Exodus. Because for those of you who are the New Testament hollers and who said that we no longer are dealing with the Old Testament, I'm here to tell you today that many things that are spoken of today was given to the Old Testament prophets. So therefore, we cannot
yeah.
snatch the whole Old Testament and throw it away because we're talking about, yes, we are New Testament Revelation Church today. Yes, we are under a new covenant. Great. Glory be to God. But the Old Testament can be used to teach us of New Testament revelation today. Hallelujah. Glory
yeah.
to God. So,
amen.
Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 14 because, once again, we're starting in the Old Testament because what we're going to understand is this. There are some things God said in the Old Testament that he does not change his mind in the new. Glory
right.
to God. You
right.
don't, he don't change his
right.
mind, you know. For some
right.
of you to say, oh, we don't need to start the Old Testament, understand this.
Well, where are you
going to
start at?
That he, oh, man, we. Good question, brother. Where we? I guess we're just going to pull some out the air, you know, and
oh, okay.
then say that. Hallelujah. I think that we should start from the Old Testament because if God said it in the Old Testament and he ain't changed his
well,
mind in the new, why not start in the old?
Everything started in what we call the old, then creation, everything
oh,
else.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to?
All that started there, yes, sir. All that started there.
Where,
so
where do
we
get the
well,
Ten Commandments? I mean, how are we going to get the law? Where did the law to condemn sin come from? To reveal sin, or sin? It all starts in the beginning of the law. And so I don't understand the people. I understand we don't. We don't abide by the ordinances, the ordinances that were given to Israel as a people, but the law of God has not been done away with. See, the law, the principle of God, the guideline, which reveals sin and darkness, we would not know what sin was. It was not for the law of God, which started in the beginning. So the law of God is never done away with. So this thing about the law is not old, it's beginning to the end. So the law of God. So I just, people, I understand what they mean. We're not under the old covenant of performances and things. We're under grace. But the law of righteousness that tells us what righteousness reveals sin is never done away with. You know, I don't understand people say, well, I ain't got to obey. Well, yeah, okay. Where are you going to start? In the middle of the air or somewhere?
Amen. That's a good question, a question that they do not have an answer to. And so we're grateful. Now, I want to go in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, and read this verse that God said when he had given these commandments and he had Moses to tell this unto the people. One of the things he
mm-hmm.
said in the commandment said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt
mm-hmm.
not commit adultery. Now, we must understand that, once again, as I define adultery in the two, the literal and the figurative. Or in other words, the literal and the spiritual. So we looked at, many times we look at this verse and we just think the literal. But he wasn't talking just talking about the literal. He was also talking about the spiritual act that you commit in adultery against him. Okay? So he wasn't just talking about the literal adultery. Yes, he was talking about that, but that was not the only adultery he was talking about. He was also talking about the spiritual.
And many times,
brother, we missed that.
I think that we have missed the wholeness, the completeness, because the Lord God declares that the spiritual adultery side of it is greater than the physical. Now, there is a lesser and then there's a greater.
Right.
The greater is the spiritual side of it. As you go on, we'll see that. Go ahead.
Right. Right. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 and 9, because, once again, what we're going to see, that from the Old to the New Testament, God did not change his mind. God is not saying thou shalt not commit adultery in the Old Testament and coming into the New Testament and saying it's okay. Hallelujah. You know what, brother? You know what it's just like when people ask God about something, he said no, and they go ask him the same thing and say, oh, he told me yes. I said, well, wait a minute. I thought he just told you no at first. See, what you did, you got that thought in your mind that he said yes. What he told you the first time, that's what he meant. Now, brother, in the past, I have been very much guilty of that, brother, myself. So when I say people, I got to include myself. I have asked God something, and he told me no, and I knew in my spirit he said no. But I turned around asking the same thing and told folks, that, well, you know, he told me yes. I did it a few times to a point one day when I did it, brother, I wasn't feeling too good behind that. I said, no. God said, that was in your mind. That's what you came up with. Okay. So, amen. Yeah. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, Paul is addressing the Christians at Rome. Let's keep that in mind, people, because, you know, sometimes we want to take the word of God and just apply to every single one. No, he specifically, just in case some Christians want to turn around and bash the sinner, want to beat all over the sinner head, he was talking to the Christians at Rome, and he said, and also us as Christian today, he said, owe no man anything but, because he didn't stop there. But he put but in there. He said, "Oh no, man, anything but, okay,
but
to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law."
The law.
For this.
Yeah.
For this. Now that's a powerful two words there. For this. In other words, he said, if you love, okay, if you love one another, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
Of the law.
Brother, I just seen right there that God did not change his mind. Plus, God said, when you're walking in love, you wouldn't want to commit adultery. I guess this is the
you're not
right
talking
here,
about the love of Hollywood. Wait a minute, brother. Are you talking about the love of Hollywood or something? What's the love you're talking about?
The love of Hollywood gets you shot and killed and all that. No, we ain't talking about that kind of love.
Okay.
We're talking about the love that keeps you standing. and not have you knocked down on your back. We talking about the kind of love that come from God that overall have you standing. And he said, when you love. Now, here's the thing, brother, right here. I guess this is where we had to put the hockey mask on to keep getting certain people punching us in the eye who are committing adultery.
Okay.
Because when you tell them, say, hey, you ain't walking in love when you did that. I love her. I love him. And then all of a sudden they want to hit on you. No, you must have loved walking in love when you committed the adultery. Hallelujah.
No. But the majority of people are singing a different song about love. And there's a distinction of course, we know, and we just decipher what the love of God is. You just read it. So,
right.
And Romans tells us what the real meaning of the love of God is, which changes the desire of what you want to do and what you will do. So we just decipher that, because a lot of people say, oh, I love the Lord so much.
Hallelujah. And you're right, brother, because see that this same love, as we talk about, as we address it now on the spiritual side, when we are walking in love towards God, we would not want to go join ourselves to something that would take the place of God.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
We won't anything that's causing us to have more loyalty to it than God, and we're walking in love, we're going to say, hold up, wait a minute now. that can't work. Hallelujah.
It can't work.
Hallelujah.
Wait a minute.
That can't work.
You mean, Tim, I can't have a second king, a second master, right, joined together? I'm joining these two together, you know. Okay.
Oh, none of that. In fact, it's just like the married man. When another woman approach him, winking her eyes and trying to get her go, he's supposed to stop, say, oh, no. No. You're trying to get me to defect the loyalty I am joined to now. You're trying to get me to come and be joined to you, to be loyal to you. You're having me changing partners on the dance floor. No, I'm sorry. We're not doing that. Okay? That's when the love of God kicks in.
Oh,
you
the know, love of God.
Hallelujah. Right,
hey,
because I've heard so many men and so many, and sad to say, as I get ready to give these statistics, it's starting to rise among the women. Okay, women, don't hit me now. In a few minutes, I'm going to read some statistics in a few minutes. So I want to warn the women, you know, I want to warn and say, listen, don't jump on me, you know, because these statistics I'm about to read in a few minutes, you want to hurt me, but I'm telling you, this is what I've seen. I understand in many of the statistics. Okay, I've seen that. Hey, it's on the rise even with the women. But one of the common excuses, brother, that I've heard, say from the men's standpoint that done it, they'll say, well, if she wouldn't have came and flirt with me, I said, man, it took two. It takes two to tangle, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about if she wouldn't flirt with you, you wouldn't have fooled with her. Come on, man. I said, you're a grown man. I had to tell the men that you're grown.
Well, man, I got to help you out about that, brother. I got to help you out. It's no more two, none. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
It's
three
and four.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh,
I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Okay, so in other words, if the other two, when they enticed me, it would have never been a three or four, huh? Oh, I got you now.
Yeah.
I got you now. Okay,
right. Okay.
I'm glad you straightened me.
And
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Do you know they got three?
The right.
They got a new thing where they have is three in the same bag or four at the same time.
Right, right, right.
So
and she goes that far into
to be
adultery. They always blaming the other side. They always blame it.
Yeah.
Well, if they wouldn't have propositioned me, I said, well, okay, you mean you didn't have the power to turn it down, huh? I said, man, come on, get off of me.
Well,
hallelujah.
Well, you know, that's a new spirit that's not really new, but it's invading American culture like an undercover. You know, people are now have it's two women and two men in American culture now, and so they're in this relationship. One man or two women, or one woman and two men. Usually one man and two women. They are joined together in a relationship. So they go and they're in any actual relationship. They call it. So it's widening. You know, it's kind of widening out. You know.
Yeah. And you're right, brother. And, you know, this is the thing about it, too. And I pray that the men and women that are listening will hear this. You do have some people that carry that strong spirit. You got to watch who you be around, okay? You know, some people, I've seen it on many people. I've seen it. It's so strong man, that if you get in that vicinity, you know, it's like a force field to start to, you know how one of those magnets,
yeah,
you put the magnet up against the steel and it just shoot, it just suck it. See, if you, and see, this is where the people mess up. That many people hang around people like that. They always, and see, people with those strong spirits, they always started with a little mild conversation. Many times they start with a mild conversation, and then it goes from there. And if you don't watch it, next thing you know, you're meeting up with them every day. You're talking to them every day, and boom. And then next thing you know, you're like, I don't know how it happened, where it happened from. And see, that's why many times God has talked to us about getting in a place, the 91st Psalm, that he that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High.
Yeah.
We got to dwell in a secret place. When you're in a secret place, discernment comes. Okay, discernment comes. And, and when something tries to invade the territory, you instantly pick up on it and say, oh, no. Not here. Oh, no, not, no, you got to go somewhere else. Not here, not here, not happening. We calling that thing off here. None of that. Hallelujah.
But
none of that.
Yep, none of that.
Same
and,
thing with the,
you know,
with the spiritual adultery. Same thing with that.
Yep.
When you will pick up when something is trying to draw your loyalty from God to it. See, that's where even that is called glory. Hallelujah. That's what the little boy shot the literal. See, literal adultery, the same thing. Trying to draw your loyalty from your wife or your husband to someone you're not married to. That's where that adultery comes in at. Hallelujah.
Right.
Glory to God.
Right.
He love a hot shot the little shake. Glory.
Right.
Ooh. That's just the Holy Ghost, brother. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And the spiritual side, which is the greater in the Old Testament, the Lord Jehovah pointed this out to Israel continually about their spiritual adultery. Because their hearts turned from him, from loyalty to him, to something and someone else. Now, that's happening, can happen even to Christians. Their loyalty can be drawn away to a thing that defects their loyalty directly from Christ. And see, our loyalty in marriage to Christ, he is what? We are the bride and he is the bridegroom. So your nothing is going to get between that marriage covenant of your loyalty to him. Not even the church, not even the religious, not the sin. Not the thing that he set up, but only nothing is deterred you from your loyalty from the head, Christ. And that's happened. That's how people get into apostasy and heretic, and they can't because their marriage to Christ and their marriage to it or the things around it can deter you and draw you away into a betrayal called apostasy. That's how the church got overthrown. And go ahead, read on. Go ahead, brother. I didn't go ahead. I didn't get me to get ahead. Go ahead.
What? No, no, don't worry about it, brother. You're giving getting the info. I want to read a report from the Washington Times on a report concerning adultery or infidelity. And the title of it was Millennial Women. Okay, here it is. Now, for you women, okay, I'm not saying every woman doing that, okay? Now, but I'm going to give this report on this part. And this came out January the 11th, 2018, by the Washington Times. And it's titled, Millennial Women Have Higher Rates of Infidelity Than Millennial Men.
Oh,
this is a study.
Oh.
Now, this is what they said in the study. They said, among millennials, women are more likely than men to say they have sex with someone other than their spouse while married. A new study shows 11% of women aged 18 to 29 say that they are guilty of infidelity. The Institute of Family Studies reports. That's compared to 10% of their male counterparts. Now, it's the only age cohort where, now this is what they said, this is the only age cohort or bracket whether women are more likely to say they have cheated than men. But, get this, the gender gap quickly reverses and widens in older age groups. Americans born in the 1940s and 1950s have the highest rate of infidelity. 24% of men aged 60 to 69 say that they have cheated on their spouse, compared to 16% of women. Men 70 to 79 say they have cheated, compared to 13 of females. Okay? Now they did a study that said that people who did not grow up in a household with both parents say that they cheated 18% of the time, compared to 15% of an intact households. Now, I give this statistics here for a reason, because it shows that the adultery, now God has told us not to commit adultery. This is both the spiritual and literal. But how that spirit and the work of that flesh, it is operating in different ages, okay?
Yeah.
It's operating in different ages, okay? It ain't just no one age. It's not just older people. It's not just younger people. But it's operating in different ages, okay? And this thing is becoming more and more aware, where it's becoming more and more noticeable from in dealing with people. Because they notice now, when you talk to certain people, brother, and I know you talk even to some young folks about marriage, you see their attitude about it, how they act, you know, like it ain't – they ain't getting married. They ain't getting married for. And then you have talked to some that are married, and they act like they're not. Okay, I mean, I've talked to plenty of them. You know, they be like, brother, I asked a lady some years ago. Now I was about 20 some. I was about probably about 20. This woman had to be about probably almost 30, and she married a man. Let's say I think he was about maybe 50, and brother. I just asked her this question. You know, I've been kind of knowing her for a few years when I grew up. And I just asked, I said, how your husband doing? Brother, you thought I asked her to jump off the roof head first. Brother, she got so mad and hung out. What did he got to do with it? I said, oh, wait a minute. I just asked you how he doing. I just said, how your husband doing? And Lord, this woman started getting, I mean, she got, I said, Lord. What did this got to do with him? I said, I just asked you, how's he doing? That's all I asked. You know? Hallelujah.
Oh, I see. Well, I see. How's he doing?
How's he doing? What? This ain't got nothing to do. It just, you know, hallelujah. But anyhow, this thing is just like it can be spiritually acts adultery against God that doesn't go with no certain age. It's the same thing with the literal adultery, okay?
Yeah.
Because many times people thought, just like, for example, and brother, we had to admit back in the day, many times when the adultery is brought up in a marriage, many times it was the man. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. It was the man.
Yeah.
But see, now the trend is revolving. It's, or in other words, it is kind of, it is switching. Because now you're hearing more women. You know, I'm like, ain't you married?
I had
a piece of paper
I'm
on
married,
you.
But
I said, that's not like some men to say. You know?
It's in reverse. It has reversed. Now, notice the difference between the cultures, you're going to get to the different cultures. And we're primarily talking about the Western culture. The Western cultural which is a little different than other cultures. It's in our culture used to be in certain areas of America used to be the man. Mostly be the man. In certain periods of time, it was the man. But as you go along and make this study, you're gonna see that cultural differences between this act of disloyalty to a married mate. And how some treat it, and what's the attitude as you go along. It's going to be interesting to see what is the primary attitude today generally among believers and non-believers. which is going to be very interesting.
Very, because, you know, we're seeing that, and this is the thing, like I said, the Washington Times did this report here. Like I said, this was in 2018 that they gave these statistics here. And once again, we see that, and in the, especially when you look at a lot of young folks, now I'm not just picking on young folks, but when you look at a lot of young folks, if somebody going to quickly holler against that, or holler that, I ain't worried about getting married. That, but I've come across a lot of young folks. When you talk to them about getting married, brother, cracks form in the middle of their forehead. They face change. And brother, they just tune you out. They just tune you out, brother. I mean, you just said something right there that, you know, many times they get so offended. Offended that you even bringing it up. When they take it, this is my boyfriend or this is my girlfriend, you say, well, listen, you know, in the sight of God, God would like you to be doing it lawfully. So, you know, it would be good that you marry. They're like, well, I don't know about that. But, and I have to be straight with this, but you know about sleeping with them. But you don't know about being committed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay.
But you know, it is, you know, it's the difference between the millennials. And we're living in a period where it changes, like you just saw the changes between the man and the woman doing it, or the woman is most likely to instigate, let's get it on, the women, married women. When I was used to do political work in my ward in Chicago, I would go into house to house in my ward and, you know, making political, you know, politics and going in different homes, I was shocked. I mean, it wasn't just the single women. I mean, brother, it was the single women. I come across, me being young, not that naive, but I wasn't, before I was in Christ and out of Christ, when I go in the home, and I was shocked about the married women. I was kind of a little shocked there by me growing up in the South, you know, and all that good stuff.
I'm telling you, brother, I mean, and this thing, like I said, and we know even back through the years, most of the time, beyond with you, if somebody's going to be doing it, we going to end up counseling the man because he, but now, oh no. This thing, they catching up. I got to be honest. The women is catching up.
They don't caught up and pass. I'm sorry, bro. They didn't pass.
Yeah,
okay. They don't pass.
Okay, y'all don't throw your tomatoes at my brother here.
I got to tell you that this is my experience and what I see in the Western culture. They done caught up and said, we're gonna pass this lane here. We gonna outdo the men.
You know, but, you know, and I know y'all hearing us laughing on the broadcast, but this thing is really serious. I mean, it's gotten to a point. And like I said, this thing, we're not talking about just out among sinners now. We want to make that clear. This thing have crept in among those who are professing to be in the body of Christ.
Yes.
I mean, professing to be in the body. When you look at the church, the Corinthian church, they were carnal Christians. The Corinthian church were carnal Christians, okay?
Yes.
And they weren't keeping their flesh in check. So you know the stuff they were doing, okay? So there are those now among even – that spirit has started operating even among those that claim to be in the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Lord.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
And that makes it you know, a little more serious from – I know it's serious on any side, whether they're believers, but it's more serious in the eyes of God because in the believers in their relationship. And so it's becoming more commonplace in the last 20, 25 years that these betrayals and indiscretion are happening in the body of Christ among men and women. And it's kind of getting up more and more among prominent, very prominent ministers too. So the devil don't care about what position you hold how much money, or how what your title is. He's not afraid about that. He just said, "Go get them, boys. Go get them." So,
amen.
We see these failures and indiscretions are happening, and that some people, you know, survive and overcome them and move on with their life. Of course, there's going to be scarrings and hurts and wounds and from the result of those things, but some people overcome them. Go ahead.
Amen. Now, I want to give this other research, and this came out last year in November 2019, and it was titled, "How Many Marriages End in Divorce Because of Infidelity?" And one of the things they start off talking about, which we don't talk about fully, they said that there is two types of cheating or infidelity. And the two types is emotional and physical. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute because that's true. See, we talk more of the physical part.
That's true.
Ooh, right. I said the Holy Ghost, I got to work on this one, brother. But we don't talk about the emotional part.
Right.
See, brother, many have fallen to that place from the lack of wisdom. For example, as men of God, you're going to have to minister to some women, okay? But what you have to watch out for is when you're meeting up with them every day, just you and her. Now, let's be real about it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right. Come on, y'all. Give the amens. And especially to you sisters in Christ, okay?
Right.
You have to be careful. And what has happened, many have become tied emotionally, okay?
Right.
And there's been an emotional adultery because they've taken the feelings that they're supposed to give to their spouse and they've given it to that other.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true.
Mm.
Now, I have to admit that actually need to be understood, that part of bonding and tying your emotions to a person other than your wife. Because I find myself counseling people in my early stages until I got some wisdom, insight about that. People, women especially, you met a minister and you're bonding with them and then, you know, taking more, you're bonding yourself more than your own wife. And it becomes an emotional tie. And you have to watch that. That's why you're always, a man has to counsel with another mature woman or with their own wife. Because that becomes very, very serious. I mean, you have to watch yourself in that area. That emotional part, you can get caught in that so easily because the women are very emotional. And they tie to somebody in the emotions first, and then you become attached to them. And that's so easy because women, they'll pray, want to counsel by a man mostly, And so you have to be very careful. I myself experienced this, and I have to openly say it. And then I had to withdraw from such a thing because it can lead you into a trap. It can lead you to a deadly trap. And it leads down to a road that you don't want to go, and you don't even know how you got there.
Amen. And you're right, brother. You're 100% correct. And this is what, in this wisdom part, we don't talk about too much in the church. We don't talk about it. I'm going over there to minister to them about the Lord. Okay, well, you go over there. Now, when you coming back later on and you talking about, man, I don't know how I did it. I don't know what happened, how I ended up doing it. I know how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You were making too many trips over there, okay? You were not following wisdom. You was going by yourself, and instead of you taking another sister or another brother with you, you was going there talking, I'm going to go and I'm going to minister by the Lord. Well, the conversation may have started off talking about the Lord, but it didn't end talking about the Lord. Now, that's the thing, okay?
Absolutely
it didn't end that
way. You know, people, I remember the early days of in Christ going to door-to-door and ministering to people and witnessing to people and women mostly be at home. And so sometimes someone will allow you to come in and you start mentioning them and they want you to come back and I want you to come back. And I could see in the beginning, I didn't see that. Oh, okay. So I'm a man coming and they said, oh, come back and on Friday. And so as I grew in the Lord and then I learned wisdom I would take a mature woman or another brother with me, I can detect their real heart and intent. Then say, oh, you got somebody with you? Yep, I got Sister So-and-so with me today. She's going to be with me. this is Brother So-and-so. And you're taking it for your protection. And you're taking it for your protection, two by two. So you're very much about how the devil weaves a web. And if you don't have practical or divine wisdom or just common sense, you'll get weaved into that web.
And you're right about that, brother. And see, that's the thing, too. Like I said, we have to address on that issue, too, because we're looking at just the physical part. See, we get caught on one side many times.
Yeah.
Just like we're talking about the spiritual and the literal. Many times we just caught on the literal. Now, when you break the literal down, we just get caught on the physical, and we don't talk about, and we don't talk about the emotional side. Okay,
right.
We don't talk about that, and so you can be emotionally tied, okay, to a person.
Absolutely.
You get to a point where your feelings, you be like, you're down your wife or you're down your husband. I just don't feel you.
Right.
You just like so and so do, and next thing you know, kapow. Y'all got a big falling out, and you're talking more and feeling more towards a person that you're not married to than your own spouse. It can happen, people. It can happen. Amen. Hallelujah.
It can happen. The emotional ties, your emotional part of you starts out on the right track, have a emotional feeling for this person to help them. But this is the tricky part. You have emotions.
Right.
And most all feelings start with your emotions.
Right.
And you get attached, and it can become a good tie or an ungodly tie. And before you know it, your emotions and your heart is drawn to that person more than your wife. Oh, why are you so sorry? Because that happened to me earlier. My wife said, well, you giving them more time. You ain't giving me no time. You doing no give. I said, oh, well, I'm doing that. You know how that is. So if you're immature and you're beginning out as a novice, you make some wrong calls because you haven't learned wisdom yet. And whenever you're dealing with the life of a person, in helping them in any area, especially if the opposite sex, when the opposite, that's why it has to be a man. If a woman is counseling a man, she has to have two or three with him and say, yeah, I got to bring a brother. I got to bring a brother in here. Amen.
Right.
As a safeguard. This is the proper safeguard. I got to bring the brother in here with him. I mean, and woman, single woman or married woman cannot counsel a man by themselves. They may at one time warn them or minister to them, but they cannot. Hallelujah.
Right.
They cannot.
Hallelujah.
And the same
Amen.
Way with a man or even minister. Now, however, there is some of the rare occasion where there is no woman to go. So what you got to do is safeguard yourself and be out in the open where if there is no woman, then you have to use another type of wisdom in ministering to another woman. Okay.
And I agree.
Okay.
I agree 100%. You're right about that, bro. Because, see, some things that people don't understand, sometimes some things is a trap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to bring that up. Some things are a trap. Sometimes people, I need ministering to. I'm so hurt. I'm so this and that. And so you go, well, I'm going to minister the word to you. And many times Satan will influence people to bring in a trap. See, that's how some ministers who actually was being honest of heart had fallen into that trap because it was a trap.
Yes.
They didn't use wisdom, and they said, okay, well, you know, I don't want to see you hurting, and I'm going to come and minister the word to you. Next thing you know, they caught in the extramarital affair.
Yeah.
So we got to keep that in mind. That's why God gives us the word, wisdom, to follow those guidelines, because like my brother just said unto those of you that are listening, hey, it's a safeguard, okay? It's a safeguard. You know, and some
because
of them
you're still in the
front is a trap. You know what I'm saying, brother?
See,
some of them you can tell the front is a trap because when you tell them, hey, I'm bringing another brother, another sister with me, they get all mad.
Well, all of a sudden, attitudes change quick, brother. You can tell what their real intent was. And you know what? I learned a lot from Brother Clark. Just about everywhere he went witnessing, Sister Clark right with him.
Right.
Right? Sugar Pie right with him. When he comes, I mean, I hardly saw him anywhere, Venice anywhere, that his wife Sugar Pie was right on his coattail.
Right.
You were there the world off.
The wool off.
She was there to wool them off. Now, they said,
yeah.
and in this study I was reading, in this research I'm giving, and it talks about the emotional physical. And then they gave three reasons why people cheat. Okay. And
okay.
They said, first one, they said because they are get this bored in their marriage and desire an emotional connection. Now, let me hold that for a second. Because
okay.
We as Christians need to hear this. Because Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, for us to be renewed, okay, be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind.
Renewing of our mind.
Okay. Renewing of our mind. Hallelujah.
Yep.
You have to renew your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. Renewed with what? Renewed with looking at the newspaper? No. Renewed at looking at old TV classics? No.
No.
It has to be renewed with the word, okay? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Eat of our shed glory. Hmm. James told us to receive the engrafted word that's able to save our soul. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, he's talking about the emotional part, too.
Right. Because the soul is the mind, will, and emotions.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, when you have that, okay, so I said, well, I did it because I was bored in my marriage and I desired an emotional connection, okay? Well, your number one overall emotional connection, here's the thing, this is what I told a man the other day, brother. When it come down to that, I got to put priority in order. So I would say I'm not going to commit adultery because my God said it's wrong. And second, I'm going to say it'll hurt my wife. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting priority in order, okay?
Right.
Now, put it in order because, number one, God's supposed to be number one in our life. So, we, you know, if we just straight out saying, well, it's going to hurt my wife, I understand you saying that. But when you put priorities in order, you say, I'm not going to do it because my God said it is wrong, first off.
There you go.
And number two, it will hurt my spouse. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's you're putting priorities in order. See, if we would think more like that, because sometimes people just be thinking about just the person, okay, and not including God. Okay,
right.
Hallelujah. And so when they just think about the person, they'll say, shoot, why should I be loyal? They treated me like a dog last week. But see, if you think about God first, hallelujah.
Yes.
Boy, I said the Holy Ghost behind that, brother. If you think about God first, put the right priority in order. So when you say, hey, I'm not going to commit this adultery because God said, okay, I'm going to put him first. Then I'm coming with my spouse behind it. You understand what I'm saying? Because people just keep thinking of the spouse first, oh, they're going to think about some stuff they said to them 5 years ago. Oh, shoot. I ain't got to
know
him right because he was winking his eye at that girl. When he winked his eye at that girl? Well, let me see. That was 1970. 1970? Hold on now. Wait a minute. We done went back almost 40 years. But see, if you think God first and say, I'm not going to do this because God said, hallelujah, that is wrong.
When you say, I'm married to Jesus and I love him. And I'm not going to do that to Jesus because he's my first in my life. And then you put the other, well, I don't want to betray my wife and my home. But you got to put Jesus first because, like you said, brother, if you put, well, you know, my wife, by the way, she talked to me and said this and done this and they were talking. But when you put Jesus first, he's first. I love him.
Amen.
I love him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love him.
Hallelujah. Edible shaka. You know, it's the same way with the spiritual adultery. If we thank God first and not saying that, well, the reason why I didn't join them because, you know, they don't offer no car to give you a ride there. No. You got to say the reason why I didn't join them is because that would take away my loyalty to God, from God.
Yes.
Okay? That would take away my loyalty. See, we have to put the right perspective in order. That's why God said in the book of Corinthians, he said, God, Christ, he said, the man, the woman. That's how he put the order.
Yes.
Okay? In other words,
order.
And he was talking to the married one that he's letting you know, say, hey, Jesus has to come first. Then you'll set priority in order. Hallelujah. We were walking glorious. We were walking in the love
yes.
of God. But we
yes.
messed up because we put the
yes.
people first. And then when we put the people
yes.
first, we said, listen, I ain't worried about being, well, be faithful to her for, huh, I called her 5 months ago.
yep.
I ain't worried about that. She talked to me low down. See, now you just put in the first, but if you put Jesus first and say, hey, I'm not going to do this because my Lord said. See, this is why the Lord gave us his law in his word, those that's in the kingdom, so we can follow it first, okay? So when we follow
yes.
it first, we put him first.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Brother, I should
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Hey, Lord.
Thank you,
now,
Lord.
Second reason that's given why infidelity or adultery is committed is because others, because they are fulfilling unmet sexual needs. Now, get this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to read the first three verses. This is what he said. He said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. Now, we missed that, brother, because we're talking about sexual relations here. And you got
right.
those, some in the marriage, they're withholding themselves from one another. Now, I need
right.
you to hear this. I'm not okay in adultery. But if you're withholding yourself from one another, you helping push one on out there. Now, brother, I know that the egg's going to be thrown and the tomatoes and the
hey,
greens, okay?
But that's,
and popping
but that's
the
what
knives
Paul is,
and the bullets, okay? yeah.
But that's what Paul is explaining to the relationships of marriage in the church. He's trying to give them understanding that you can do things to cause other things to be that should not be.
Right.
So when you try to manipulate people, and Lucy Paul said, don't manipulate your partner.
Right.
Well, you ain't,
right.
you stay out of my bedroom. I don't like what you said. So I'm going to manipulate you for a whole week. Don't come near me. Don't,
right.
don't even touch me. And,
right.
and you're setting up something that you ought to, you're going to hold something that God has commanded that the wife relation. And when you try to do this and manipulate a marriage through sex, withholding, punishing somebody, you know, people punish you, you know how to try to punish you, you know. This goes
right.
on.
Right.
Even, and it goes among Christians too as well. And
oh, yeah.
they
oh,
think
yeah. uh-huh.
that they're doing
yeah,
something.
You're right.
Of course. Because we're still in the flesh. I don't care if you saved, sanctified, you're still in the flesh. And you had to bring this flesh under control daily and admit to it. So you're still in this body. So
right.
what you're saying is Paul was trying to tell them they was having this problem. They're pushing or manipulating or withholding what they have God said you do to one another in order to manipulate to get your own way.
Right.
Well, you know people use their body to try to get their own way.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Oh, it's so wide open. In fact, summertime will let you know and spring. if there are two
That's
months,
it.
They're going to let
yeah.
you know when they're doing it. It's going to be spring and
yeah.
summer. Amen?
Yeah.
And it can be in the
yeah.
winter here in Mississippi because, you know, it gets warm here in Mississippi. You can always tell when it gets warm, brother. Just go outside and go
yeah.
to the store. You'll see. Amen. Just,
Listen.
You'll see.
Listen. Chicago and the big cities, all you had to do go downtown and loop or any of these big cities and just stand on the corner. You don't have to go to no special what they got these special shows and stuff. Just no, you gotta do that. Just go down in the summertime and stand on the corner.
Right.
Right in the middle of town.
Right. Amen.
You know, and so that's where we have come. And so, you know, Paul tells us to watch your eyes, what your eyes linger on a long time. You got to watch. When you see something, oh, turn your eyes, just get your mind off that. Go that way.
Right.
He said, watch your mind. You don't even linger there. Don't look there because David got in that trouble too for looking.
oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he did. And plus he, And David, well, anyhow, as we said, that's another story. But, yes, you agree.
Yeah.
You were right about that because but the simple fact is that in marriage, it's supposed to be great. And when you're withholding one another, once again, I'm not promoting adultery because of that. But what many don't understand is you helping the cause of pushing them toward that way. Okay? You're in fact, just like when they're being, quote, enticed by someone else outside of marriage, you helping in the enticement. Okay? Because you're pushing them further towards the enticement. And next thing you know, and then you come, you did me wrong. You did it that. Okay, but did you do anything wrong? Okay, when you were holding yourself because your lip was poked out because he wouldn't give you the brand new car, or when your lip was poked out because you wanted her to cook you some pancakes and because you didn't feel like getting up off the couch and she wouldn't cook it, so you gonna just say we ain't sleeping in the bed together. We ain't you know, you wrong too. Amen. You were too because you helped in the cause. Oh, brother.
Yes.
This is the conversation that we got to have.
Yeah.
This is the thing that we got to have because some people, brother, wants to ask this and some of them are afraid. Some of them like, oh, I don't know. I better not ask them that. They might think something wrong with me. No. These are the things because some of these things has been swept under the rug and stayed hidden for so long that when you bring it up to certain leaders, they cut you off and want to talk about something else. No, this has to be addressed, okay?
Yes.
Because you have the flesh
Absolutely.
And you have a devil out there, okay? And so these people need to know this. Now, the next reason they give for others, for some doing that is because of the opportunity presenting itself. Wow.
Yeah.
The opportunity presenting itself. People listen.
A lot of that.
Every opportunity that presenting itself don't mean you run into it, okay? Okay, you know, they're just like you can get a job offer for a higher pay. That don't mean it's always good to take it because that job may take you away from your wife. It may, especially if it take away you from God. So people be looking at, well, you know, it's higher pay and I get more pay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it's always good for you to get in it because when you get in it, you find out, man, I don't get to go to service no more. I don't get to study, man. I'm so tired, man. By the time I get to that, boom, I didn't hit the flow. You know, well, man, I ain't seen my wife now in 3 years. You ain't. What you doing? Well, I got this new job. I'm making $200,000 a year. And so you're looking at the money, okay? That's what you're looking at.
Yes.
But it took you away from your spouse. So every opportunity as it presented itself is not good. But I want to throw one more in there, brother. One more reason why some do it. Because they don't esteem marriage as being anything. Uh-oh. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Okay. See, that's why you got to be careful who you marry. Okay? See, this is where the people, brother, when you start counseling them, when they say, you know, I want to get married, and you start counseling them, say, listen, make sure you get along with God and let God you turn them off then, brother. It's a turnoff.
Yeah.
Because, see, I just seen JoJo down the street. He looked good. Even though he wear about an earring in his ear and about four in his nose. He got a nice build. Ooh, he's a nice-looking man. Oh, I just seen Susie down the street. She got the Coca-Cola bottle shape. And here you are telling me I need to wait on the Lord. What you talking about? And now when I marry them, they fooling with everybody under the sun. And I'm upset because many of them do it because they do not esteem marriage as being anything.
They
do
not.
You don't want to marry somebody like that.
And they, in our generation, marriage is lightly esteemed as a sacred covenant. It is not esteemed as a sacred covenant and trust before God and man. They're esteeming it, if I get one, I'll get rid of her and get another. Ain't no big deal. I mean, whatever. It's lightly, marriage is one of the most sacred, it is the second most sacred thing, second greatest sacred covenant that a man can make before God. And God instituted marriage. He instituted marriage, a relationship. And it is not esteemed sacred. It is not esteemed as a covenant between man and God. It is not considered as a sacred trust between two people and God. So people look at it like, hey, it's no big deal. I mean, just a piece of paper, brother. You know what? I can pay that paper. It don't mean nothing, just a piece of paper. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, ain't no big thing.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly,
I'm still me,
too,
and I'm going to do what I want to do, and then we have strange relationship in the West now. The marriage called the marriage of convenience, and I don't have to be faithful.
Right.
Now, we got marriages where they call them, in Hollywood, they call them a free marriage, free-going marriage. You do what you want to do. I do what I want to do. I bring my man. You bring your woman. We just pay our bills and that. And so I had that happen to me more than one time. I went in about how people view marriage today. I went in the store. I remember it don't happen to me more than once. So I went in and went in the store, this TV, my brother, and I went out to get a news one. So this lady behind the first, she's very nice-looking lady. She had a big photo. She had been a model up on the wall. And so I went in to look at the TVs, and she began to tell me her relation. I didn't ask her. I didn't go there. She got to talking because, I talk to people. And she says, she let me know where she do her nightclub in it, what night they go out on Thursday to this place. Then she began to tell me, well, she had an open marriage. And her husband, they do get along. He bring his woman. I go in my room. I bring my man. When I bring mine downstairs, he go in his room. So I said, why is she telling me all this? You know, I'm trying to get a TV, but she's telling me all this stuff. You know? So that was an open door for me to jump. So I got a TV and I got out of there.
I can't blame you, brother. I can't blame you on that one, brother. Because I know you smell that trap right there. You smell that one there.
I mean, these things can be, the enemy can just do all kinds of things to give you a legitimate reason. You can just have a argument with your spouse or a bad week, and the devil can step in so quick, brother, to fill that gap. He had not been there talking, treat me like I'm a dirt, and she had not been there doing that. And here the devil comes in to soothe your feeling. And he presents you with a flower. So this lady, she was a model, and the lady looked beautiful. And she just telling me all these things about herself, open marriage, and where she go to the club, and what night she go. Where I'm getting all this information?
Yes. The trap. Yes, Lord.
And, and the thing about how the enemy manipulate to break a trust, the same thing happened to me at a barbershop, and I would go to this barbershop, and I was taking my kids there a lot of times and took it. And this lady, her husband, I used to talk to him, and her wife came in there, and she was looked like this same lady was at the TV show. And she started talking, because I talk to people, I speak to them, hello, and we may have a talk on something. And she began to tell me where she go to the club, on what night she go, and everything. And so we have to be very watchful and careful, especially as we have to be very on guard. Very on guard.
I agree.
Both women and men. Very wives and husbands especially. And a Christian wife has to be a wife just like men. It used to be just men. It's the men. No, baby, I'm sorry. It ain't the men anymore. You can't go down that road.
Oh, no.
Go down.
And I've seen some that it made my mouth fly open. I like, say, what? She said, what? You know, and let you know, they don't care if you're married. They let you know that up front, you know.
In fact, that's better, because some of them tell you that's good, because you married, that means you got to go back home. Hey,
right.
That's all good. But they told me that. Well, that's even better.
And see, people, you know, and like you said, we have to be watchful because one of the things, brother, I would look at, and there was one time that this I knew this young lady before I married my wife, and me and this young lady, we used to work at a place together, and we was just friends. And one of the things I pick up, and I want to say this to those that are listening, you can do it with the opposite sex. I want to say this to the men. I want to say this to the women. For example, even though the young lady knew me, now me and my wife were standing together at this store one day, and she comes up, right? Now, the proper thing would be said, how are you all doing? You know, including my wife. But she just looks at me and said, Nate, how you doing? And she started talking at me as if my wife wasn't standing there. And I picked up on it. I said, wait a minute now. And so she went to going away, and I called her name out. My wife said, Nate, what you doing? And I told her, I said, hey, you forgot to speak to my wife? Man, my wife would hit me. What you doing this for? I said, listen. I said, that was disrespect. And I say that to people who got this, like this. That's another sign you can tell, okay? If there's just friends with you, but here you are standing with your wife, and they can't speak to your wife, that's a bad message, okay?
Yes.
They're telling you just as good, but like your spouse, it's the same thing. Christian sisters, you need to hear this too. If you knew a man, just knowing him as friends or whatever, just associates, and you and your husband standing there, and he talking to you like your husband is not there, that's sending a bad message, okay?
Bad message.
That's sending a bad message.
And you're supposed to say, this is my beloved husband. You see, this is my beloved wife. So I'm going to give her high regards when I'm talking to a used-to-be person, whether it's a man or a woman, because we all have friendships that with single people because we were single too.
Right.
So you don't necessarily lose friendship with people because you get married, but you put them in proper order. And when you come together and they don't want to recognize the other partner and the other woman, they're just talking with this guy and talking with this person, y'all over in the corner and talking about laughing, and you have forgot your place that you are married and say, this is my husband. So so if you this is my wife, my beloved wife. So you're going to address both of us because I'm no longer single. I'm not a lover singer, but they want to play the game. So you have to be very watchful and careful where these things lead to and what can cause a betrayal or a breach. Now, breach, and it can cause a leading away because we're still in this flesh.
Right.
I keep telling people that I don't care how saved you are, you have to watch. You are still subject in this flesh. Hallelujah. You hear me?
Hallelujah.
Now, that's how Christians, I'm saved, sanctified, can't nothing get me. Oh, okay. Okay. Is that right? Okay. Let that pride has brought many people down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said pride has brought many great people down, being foolish and unwise, putting themselves in a place where they can be overcome. You can never, and the Lord had warned me by putting myself in a place where I could be overcome.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Oh,
you're right about that, brother, because we don't need to put ourselves in harm's way. And some people put themselves in harm's way, you know, and you know, you especially if you know in your spirit that the one of the opposite sex carry that strong lustful spirit. Why would you go in a place by yourself with them? You putting yourself, setting yourself up, and then later on you talking about, he tried to touch me.
Yeah.
But you just telling me a few minutes ago that you knew he was that type of person. Why would you go into that place? So that's putting yourself in harm's way. And you know, some people, brother, get upset when you bring that up. You know, well, I just went in. No, you didn't just have to, okay?
No.
You know, you put yourself in that predicament by going in that place when you knew ahead of time how this person is. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You knew this ahead of time, okay? And you're going to put yourself in harm's way. So we don't need to do that, okay? And this is where this thing of the adultery, you know, these things come about because we have to look at the whole picture. You know, what's causing it, the lack of wisdom and being watchful, you know, And look at how, my God. And this thing, this is just part one tonight. But this thing, you know, I look at it, it's very serious. It ain't nothing. I mean, Christians is like, brother, you would think they ain't a Christian. The way some of them are dressing, the way they're acting, and then you know they're married, and you would be thinking, hey, they got a divorce because they ain't acting married, you know.
Not acting. Yeah.
They ain't acting like
all
that,
of these,
you know.
Things, I'm sure before this week is over, it is going to open the eyes of many and help many rise to the importance of guarding their relationship.
Right.
And keeping themselves because they have understand this flesh is not saved. You have to crucify it, humble it, and keep it under. But this flesh ain't saved. Now, you may think it's saved. You ask some of the people that got overtaken. They put themselves in a way where they could be overthrown because you're still in this flesh. Hallelujah. Paul tells us, watch and be sober.
Hallelujah. Amen, brother.
Thank you, Lord.
And we got as we get ready to close the broadcast, brother, I want to give you a chance to give a final word, and then I want to ask if you would close us off with prayer.
To everyone, and wherever you are, the Almighty God, the Creator, instituted marriage relationship. The second thing He instituted on the earth, the most sacred second thing, is the marriage. It's the sacred marriage. I'm not talking about no girlfriend or jumping over no broom and all that stuff. I mean, you have your customs, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible gives us a covenant. Look at how what God intended for marriage in His sight, why it's so important and sacred to the family and to the earth as an example of God's plan. So if you're in a nation that you have different customs and different nations, I understand it. Primarily, we've been talking about the Western civilization, the Christians, but we'll as we go on, we'll talk about other nations and what they believe and what they see.
Amen.
About marriage. And so that will be dealt on. Hallelujah. And as we go along, Brother Nate, it's going to unfold this week some important things about marriage and the relationship that God intended for marriage to be and the home to be, because many homes and marriages are being destroyed. And infidelity and being drawn by this world and this flesh is a great thing now that we have to guard ourselves. Hallelujah. So today, if your marriage need mending, your life need mending first. When you're dealing with a marriage, you got to deal with the life issues. So as that goes on, you got to deal with your life issues first before you can mend any other fences. Hallelujah. You got to deal with the heart. You got to deal with the flesh and the emotions. You got to deal with the covenant. So today we're asking you to give your life to Christ. If you have not made a decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, if you had once had made Jesus Lord of your life, and you walked away. And some of you has just made a statement to the church but haven't made a commitment with Christ. And so I don't want you to just join a church. I want you to make a commitment of your heart to Jesus Christ, because so many people are coming to a church and making a commitment to a church organization but are not making a commitment to the head, who is Christ. So today, we're going to take you to the head. We're not worried about the organization. We're going to take you to the head, the master, the redeemer. That's the one you got to connect with. That's the one that died and rose again. He's the head of his people. Lord Jesus, everyone that hear us today, because of this pandemic, they need to find a resting and a hiding place under the cross, under the blood. They are naked in your sight, and these things can overtake them. But today, they decide that I want a hiding place, a covering place, a redeeming place of hope, a hope that if I leave this world, I'll go to be with God in Christ. So, Lord, everyone, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose on the third day. I believe that I'm a sinner lost according to the scriptures, and I need a savior. I need a redeemer. And the scripture says Christ, Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day. If I believe in my heart that he did and confess with my mouth today and invite him into my heart, that he'll give me life and he'll give me salvation.
Yes, sure.
So say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm a lost sinner. I'm cut off. I need a Savior. I believe that your blood atoned for my sins, and I'm putting my trust in you. I'm confessing you as my Lord and my Redeemer. Come live your life in me. I invite you in. I'm putting my trust in you as that Savior today from my heart. And I mean it, Lord, and so it is so. I thank you, Lord, for coming in my life, giving me eternal life in Christ. I thank you in Jesus' name. Now, next day, you got to find a good church and be baptized in water, and then baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you on your way to God directing your life. This is the Church of Christ with Elijah Messages, Brother Nady and Brother Elite, inviting you to know Christ and come into the kingdom of God and work the works of God. We love you. Send your questions, send your calls, whatever. If we can help you, we will also do what we can do for the glory of God. God bless you and keep you and direct you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Appreciate that, brother. And for those of you that have been listening, don't forget tomorrow, Brother Emmanuel Murphy will be on. Look for the advertisement on tomorrow night. And then Tuesday, the Lord said the same. I will be back with part two of Adultery in a Series, on this series here. And I just pray to the Lord that those of you who have been listening tonight, hey, that you would come back again for part two, and that you would hear my brother tomorrow, Brother Emmanuel Murphy, because he comes with very interesting topics on the Monday broadcast. So once again, we thank God for all of you. As for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, we love you all. May God bless you. May God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen.